Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. 7 o'clock tonight, and then Thursday night football takes over. But right now, we've been talking about the Pelicans' big victory opening night in the Smoothie King Center. And to help us break that down, Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Jake, always appreciate the time. Thank you. And how was last night in the Smoothie King Center for you?
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away right after the game.
Is that not the most Pelicans thing we've ever seen? A big opening night win without Zion Williamson, but it comes at a pretty high price, losing DeJounte Murray for an indeterminate amount of time right now, which is definitely going to be minimum, I'd say, 6 weeks, looking probably more like 8 when it comes to it. But it was fun to get that atmosphere. People are ready for a big Pelican season. I think there's a lot of expectations this year. And look, at least they got the win rather than losing and having a big injury too.
Good news, too, today. It looks as though Zion full practice today. But last night, if you didn't walk away and say, man, that Eve Messi guy looked like we got something here. Now, again, you're going to go through the growing pains with him. And it was so impressive to see him. He looked like he belonged, Jake. And a lot of times for rookies, they sort of, the square peg in the round hole. He looked as though he belonged at the NBA level.
He did, and that's what you're looking for with a guy like that. This project, when they drafted him, but they really feel his ability is going to shine through sooner rather than later, and it was a big part of why they drafted him. And I think when they look at looking for a big man to pair next to Zion Williamson, ideally, yes, you want one that shoots three-pointers, but big men that defend the rim and shoot threes, there's maybe two guys in the NBA. So you've got to look for a vertical spacer. And that's what you saw from Eve Messi out there. When he subbed in, the offense opened up. You saw them running a bunch of pick and rolls with him and DeJounte Murray, and that really put the Chicago Bulls defense on the back foot. It just added another dimension that the Pelicans weren't having out there when they started Daniel Theis. So the second Messi came in, the game shifted offensively, and then it also shifted defensively with some of the blocks that he had and the rim protection that he had. And when he was playing more in the second half, when those defenders, whether it's Herb Jones, whether it's Murray, Brandon Ingram, even CJ McCollum was great last night, when you know you have rim protection like that in the back, you can gamble on steals a little bit more. And New Orleans started forcing a ton of turnovers in the second half of that game. They finished with 29 fast break points, 30 points off of turnovers. And I think a big part of that is because they knew they had Messi back there. We can talk about the athleticism that we saw, the shot blocking, all of that. To me, the most impressive part was the intelligence that you saw from him, the way he knew where to go. This is a guy that coaches rave about his ability to pick up the game, to process information, and then turn that around and utilize what he's learned out there on the basketball court. My big concern with him when he was drafted would be, can he stay on the court or is he going to foul too much? Because rookie centers tend to do that. In that first preseason game, he picked up about 5 fouls in 2 minutes or so, and it seemed like that might be a problem. You have all the talent in the world, but if you can't stay out on the court, it doesn't really matter. He only had 2 fouls in last night's game. To go from being a foul machine in your first preseason game when you're playing worse players to going up against admittedly a not very good Chicago Bulls team and only commit 2 fouls while making that type of defensive impact, that's truly the most impressive thing for me, and I would not be shocked if we end up seeing him start sooner rather than later.
Jake, it's funny, just talking about that, Jen Hale came on with me yesterday, and she brought up, in hearing it from the coaches, his ability to do something he hadn't done before and process it so quickly, the intelligence level, and she was talking about the coaches were like, wow, he's like a sponge. He picks it up, and then he can process what you're telling him in a practice session into a game. But she said, now you got to see it. The other part she brought up yesterday, and we got a little glimpse of it, was how would Brandon Ingram react to a turbulent offseason? Okay, you kind of caught in the vortex of the tornado here. A lot of things happening from a financial standpoint, not getting the deal, not getting traded, a lot of rumors out there. Man, he played lights out last night also.
He was great, and he won the game for the Pelicans in the third quarter. Misi had an impact, but the reason that they won that game and pulled ahead was Brandon Ingram's play in the third and fourth quarter. It took him a little bit, I think, to kind of find his rhythm. He only played one preseason game. You could see some of the rust on him, and then he got into a groove. And midway through the third quarter, the start of the fourth quarter, you saw the Chicago Bulls roll out a zone defense because what they were doing before wasn't working. They switched to a zone, and the Pelicans had a couple of trips on the offensive end where they didn't score at all. And then Brandon Ingram took a pull-up three-pointer at the top of the three-point line, made that, and then that immediately kind of shifted the game. The way you beat a zone defense is you shoot out of it. And him taking that three, a shot that he didn't really take much of last year, made it. And then that started spacing the court. He made another three during that stretch too. And then all of a sudden you saw the court open up and you saw him knifing into the heart of that defense, trying to post up smaller players, cutting in there, getting the ball and getting into the teeth of the defense, forcing them to collapse. And then he was able to kick out to open three-point shooters. It's exactly the type of play from Brandon Ingram that you want to see, that the Pelicans have really been pushing him to try and adopt this past off season. They want a better shot profile that's more shots at the rim, more three-pointers, fewer mid-range shots. And he's Brandon Ingram. He's going to take those mid-range shots, and he'll make those mid-range shots too. But those aren't high-efficiency looks. And when he started playing that high-efficiency basketball, that makes you go, oh, he and Zion Williamson can coexist. Now, it's one game. We've seen Ingram do this before. Then the next game, take no three-pointers. So it still is a little bit of TBD if they can truly coexist. But when he broke that zone defense for the Chicago Bulls, that's when the Pelicans won that game. And it was him taking those type of shots that the team wants him to take.
Jake, looking at this team, upcoming four-game road trip after the home opener, a little bit unique. You have two games in Portland Friday, Sunday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, you're at Golden State. Hopefully that helps them get some rest with these games, because obviously not having to travel all four matchups is a little bit of a benefit there. But what do you see coming up in this Portland and Golden State back-to-back stint here?
You know, particularly against Portland, it's going to be Eve Misi. They're going to need to rely on him a lot here. They have a pretty good center in DeAndre Ayton. They just drafted Donovan Klingham out of UConn, ninth overall. They're pretty big down low, and they're going to try and utilize that size advantage. So if Misi can come in and defend the rim and at least just hold his own against those kind of centers, and this is where we might see him regress a little bit. I don't know if he'll play as well as he did against the Chicago Bulls. That's going to be kind of the eye-opening moment for me where you go, okay, he's definitely a future starter, but not in subsequent seasons, this year at a certain point, if he can handle those type of players. I think you can definitely see him do that. Other than that, Portland's a little bit weak. They have some guard play, but you still have Herb Jones. It sounds like Zion Williamson will be good to go here, which is going to put pressure on their defense, and they are not a good defensive team. Those should be wins for the Pelicans, but going 1-1 would be okay too, because it is still a little bit tough to win on the road, and New Orleans is now missing two of their best six players in DeJounte Murray and Trey Murphy. The Warriors one will be interesting. That's a team that isn't what they used to be when they were on their, you know, their dynasty run, but they still have Steph Curry. They just added Buddy Hield, former Pelican, and they can shoot threes. And if you're making your threes, you can win a game on any given night, even if you're a less talented team. The good news is the Pelicans took 37 three-point attempts in the game last night, and they've been pushing that number to try and be 40. That's what they're looking for. And if they can keep taking those threes, making those threes, they'll stay in the running with the Golden State Warriors, and you don't just lose out on the math when it comes to it. They make threes, you make twos. You'll lose, even if you're going shot for shot with them, because one's worth an extra point. If they keep up the three-point shooting, and that's definitely been a big emphasis for them this season, you know, there's a chance they can go 4-0 on this road trip.
Jake, always appreciate your time. Definitely check out all your work at the Locked On Pelicans podcast, a daily subscription for that service. And sure, appreciate you, and we'll be talking more Pel soon.
Thank you, Jake.
Of course, thanks for having me on, y'all.
All right.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to Locked On Pelicans on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.